Thank you, Sean.
Okay. So, the movie England is both spoken in Russian and in German. And you come from Georgia, but in the movie, you are a German guy, if I'm not mistaken. You speak in German.
I speak German most of the time, but I'm not playing really German guy. But it's not also precisely explained in film where this guy comes from. And because the film takes place in Berlin, it doesn't matter anymore where he comes from, but he just speaks German because he lives there, but you realize that he's not originally from that place.
So you can hear it from the language,
I think? I guess so. I don't hear it.
Oh, yeah.
Or some German speakers surely.
So from where you come, do they normally speak in German, or is it? Did you have to learn it?
Well, I did have to learn it 5 years ago because I got my first work offer in Germany, so I had to learn the language to be able to work.
Is it very different from the language you speak?
Yeah.
Very different.
Totally
different. Totally different. Okay. So we already saw you in Luna Papa and Susie Washington. In some way, all these three movies with England too speak about a journey. In Luna Papa, the journey of a fantastic voyage through age, and Daredevil Susie Washington, on the other hand, might be similar to the movie England. Why do you think people from this part of the world still want to go to England and USA? They want to travel and...
US?
Yes.
I think they have... The major reason for that is because of the system which was, let's say, in the eastern part of Europe, or eastern part of this world, the planet, when the system was broke, and I mean the socialist system, people were confronted with, from one side, with a big freedom of choice to move, and in another side they were confronted with poverty, with the destruction, with the wars, with the crimes, with the disasters and small wars between small ethnic groups in all over the place. Especially I'm talking about the country I'm coming from. It was formerly known as Soviet Union, and involving small republics like the Republic of Georgia, where I was born. And so from my own experience, I can say that people I know who would just kind of leave the country without knowing where they go, their first impulse was that they were so long kept in the like, let's say, behind the iron curtain. It was so hard for most of the people to travel because you need so many officials, formal papers signed and so on and so on, so a lot of formalities, and suddenly it was just kind of, borders kind of broke and people had this freedom. So I think that was the first impulse of the now we go and find our freedom, and this is the first thing what people do probably. And I think this is the one of the major reasons. And sure, that every individual has a private reason also why they don't want to stay there where they are, because they look for, like every people in the world, they look for happiness. They look for a place where they can just kind of be themselves, where they can work something, they can be useful for people, and they can naturally also earn some money, they can pay their rent, and they can just enjoy life, because otherwise life is too hard, it's too weight, worries.
Do you think that going to the USA or England might be a...
We're already in...
That going might be an... to USA or England might be seen as an illusion once you get there. That you don't find what you were looking for.
I think you don't find exactly what you're looking for. You never find that anywhere, I think so. But therefore, the... What is a good thing is that you find something else, which you don't know. You don't know what to find there, actually. You can think, you have idea that it will be different because, you know, I was 14 when I traveled to the US. I was going to regular school, gymnasium. It was unusual for a kid of that age to travel. So I was, from that environment, I was brought to London first place where I traveled so far, and I was very impressed by how this place appeal to you? How much promise is it giving? Look, here is everything perfect and happy, and on the surface you just see that it's just kind of this perfect place where people found their way to make life attractive somehow. And when you see it as a tourist show, it's a different thing, because you see a lot of promises, but you feel that you're not part of it, so you cannot be there. But when you stay in that part of the world, then you're confronted with real problems. After 2 months of being there, you just know that the world is the same everywhere. People have the same problems inside of them. Just exterior is different, and exterior promises you something which is not there. Really, and so it comes to the step of first disillusion, second disillusion, then you look for sense in it, and then what you find is, I guess, with my experience of you, the thing is that you find that people make friends, make contacts, and it makes sense, it makes this place your home, but not the environment or anything else, neither money or something, just people.
So this movie, England, from the director, is his first film. Did you ever work with a director that was a starter?
I did work a few times in my life with directors who started there, who were starters, as you said, and they did their first films. Yes, I did that.
And do you see that there are differences from maybe more known directors with these new stars?
Yeah, sure, there's always difference, and especially when people do it first time and come from theory to practice their job. It's, in one hand, very attractive because it's full of enthusiasm, it's full of the eager to do something which is not always expected from you to be done, and therefore the risk of the work is very attractive, because you're given a lot of freedom, and you see that people, and especially the director, tries to kind of give his best, her best. It is very attractive, but sometimes it can be also not always easy to work like that, because you don't always know what's gonna be next, for instance. But mostly I enjoy to work with directors who do their, who be just begin their careers or their work. It's interesting.
So exactly, I'm skipping number four because it's with what kind of directors do you prefer working? And okay, do you prefer like improvising, or do you feel more comfortable when the acting is planned perfectly, when you know exactly what you have to do?
I like to know exactly what I want to do, but I also want to have a space for something which is spontaneous, authentic, and comes close to life, and not so technically perfect or choreographed in front of camera, but it just gives also a chance that you, as an actor, bring a slice of life, real life, to that, what you do, to your character, or to your task as an actor, or something. You just do what you're asked to do by the director. And so, I don't know, it's just a little obscure what I'm saying, I think, but still, I think I'd rather prefer to be able to improvise as well, to know exactly what we're doing. So this is, I think, combination of both things which makes it attractive.
And do you think that the personal experience of an actor is important? Like, for example, a movie like the one in England, would it be like the same impact if like American actors would have done it?
It's never same impact. Although they're the actors, I don't want to say anything generalize on American actors, but they're more what you see in the commercial films done in the United States. They're method actors, that's how they call themselves. And sometimes you're not really attracted to that, because you kind of already guess what how they're going to do that. And this technique of their studies of acting, it's not surprising anymore, because we've seen that in the 70s as well. So, and there were people like Al Pacino or Diane Keaton or Sissy Spacek, like, who did Fantastic Four and Robert De Niro, who did that in the 70s in a very good way. And most of American actors, what they do now is just kind of copy the style, but there is nothing in most of the time. I mean, I don't want to generalize. So I think the personal impact is a personal story. I don't know, your person is always influenced by the things you do, always. Because I don't believe in the transforming yourself in a person you are not, because it's always about the person who you are and about the part in you and personality which could be demanded for that particular part. So you just, as an actor, you have capacity or talent or desire to make an art out of it and just play with this transformation and just be someone you're really not, but use the words you're not using, but still remain truthful to yourself and tell story from yourself, actually. I think so.
So what do you think of the...
Sorry, just get...
Okay. What do you think of the Chernobyl tragedy, and what were your feelings about it when it happened? And how did you then bring these feelings in the part for this film?
What I feel about Chernobyl tragedy is, you wouldn't be surprised if I said that it was just one of the most dramatic events which, for my generation, living in the country, or like Soviet Union, was very, very traumatic, because, first of all, we weren't told exactly what happened there in that time. And the whole world knew about it, but we didn't know about it. I mean, the people who lived in the country. And although Ukraine is quite far from Georgia, where I lived, we were quite devastated, as far as I remember. And what concerns the second part of your question, what how it influenced the character I was playing in it, I can't really say that I really made a lot of thoughts about that. I think I had general emotions, feeling about this disaster, but there was nothing concrete I could just stick with or just think or remember or remind. It was more a state of feeling solidar and compassionate to someone who kind of went through real disaster and still survived somehow. So it was more about so general things for me than concretely for about Chernobyl.
And do you think the film has a goal to achieve in talking about Chernobyl, or is it just a story?
I think it uses the Chernobyl event dramatic events which happened in Chernobyl. I think the film and the story is kind of uses it as one of the, as I said, most dramatic events of last century, let's say. And so I found it very interesting when I read the script the first time that Olsen was interested in such a subject and still making a warm, poetic, melodramatic film, which happens with a person, actually, with people who come from there, and I found it very brave, I would say, courageous from the author, because normally you would think, I mean, when people read, oh, this movie is about the guy who survives Chernobyl, and then he has this leukemia, and he goes to Berlin, people are like, must be sad film, you know, but still, it's okay to watch sad films because sometimes life is sad.
Okay, so the character you played in the movie is very cold in the beginning and very lonely. Do you think this is an exception, or do you believe this sadness might be a factor for the young people of this new generation, being all alone with your computer in your room, having less and less friends?
Well, it's me personally, I don't have this problem because I don't even have the internet access at my home where I live, which I think is a very important thing because I still call my friends, they still come pass by, and because there was one period when I was very attracted to net and virtual communication, it's very attractive. I don't know if it's so sad, because it's about our time. In our time, the world is like that, and this virtual, let's say computer world is so big that human being wants to reach that also, and not to feel stupid, to compare it with the computer world, which becomes a dominating character all over the planet, which is the most important creature. Makes people communicate with each other very easy and lots of different things, and we know already. But me personally, I'm not from that kind of generation. When I was a kid, I still read books, so I didn't have TV, I didn't have telephone, so I'm quite happy about that. So because today I also don't need a mobile phone, because I think it's not necessary to have it. So I don't belong to that generation, so I'm a little bit from some other place.
So was your character actually sad and lonely?
Very sad, I would say, and very lonely, and in big jungle of big city, and trying to survive, and defining himself as an interesting artist, because he just dedicates to some of the things he's painting. They're very, in sense, kind of orthodox, because he draws his icons, and very like iconographic, these perfect pictures, and most of them are very heroic or full of harmony and love, which he's seeking, and like everybody. But this is the only place he can just put it, is there, because his reality is like not the same, and that's probably the cliche about being a painter, and more you starve, you better paint. Probably, I think my character was believed in that, so he's quite stoic. He wants to prove. So he himself and his job. Yeah, this is the circle, because there's no other people around him. So he just tries to isolate him as much as he can from the world, which is already so strange to him, that only world he exists is that painting. So appearing of the character Valery, who comes from Chernobyl and carries this joy of life, still knowing that his days are kind of limited and his life gonna just kind of stop any moment. I think this is the one of the major events in the life of my character, Pavel. I don't think that he transforms. I think that the things which just kind of were always in him somehow, I made him paint, and which were not in that society he lived for that while. It wasn't demanded or asked from him to be like that. It was again necessary to have your heart, to have it open, and to see in somebody's eyes, and to realize that life is more important than anything else which surrounds you. So I think this was very, it was generally the, what we would want to do from this character I played, if you, me and the, as well direct, sure.
Okay. So, is this the first time you come to Trieste, to this festival?
It's the first time I come to this festival, but it's the second time I come straight to Trieste, yeah. And, probably a lot of people told you already that they're so happy to be here, or they love it here, but repeating thousand times, I really mean it. It's very, very special here, very, very special place, very special people. And people love films, and yesterday to see the full audience standing and sitting on the floor, it was very good feeling. It was simply very positive, because sometimes you think, like everybody probably in this world, why I'm doing this and why I shouldn't just kind of go somewhere and do something which is more concrete, more kind of solid and not the films. Yesterday I got this wave of the feeling that, well, it's very good what I'm doing, I just because there are people who want to see, and that's most important.
Okay, and last question, what is going to be your next project?
The next project is a German film, it's shot in Africa, in Kenya. Now I'm living 1 week to Kenya, to Nairobi, and therefore I had to study a bit of Kiswahili last 2 months, and also take a German dialogue coach, and and I'm gonna play a German Jew from 1938 who's forced to leave Germany because of Nazis and the war, and because they had no choice, they are going to Kenya as an immigration country, not knowing sure what awaits them there. So the film takes place in these 8 years of three people. Their family, the husband, the wife, and the little kid, how they make their life in farmhouse in Kenya, and going in their relationship through very dramatic events, coming from love turning into hatred and back to love, because it's just kind of everything which happens in their in the former homeland influences their daily life, even in such a big. Thank you. That's what I can say about that. Because I'm not allowed to talk so much about this.
Okay, thank you.